Oh, corporate, yeah. Oh, that's right, yeah, because it's the new...
I just finished the last line last week.
Yeah. Well, they are really going down the wire.
48 hours before it was shipped, I finished my part.
Oh, my God.
I have not seen the movie, and I just met Marcia Gay last night. Introduced myself. Even started in the movie. I didn't even know she was in the movie. Where have I been? Hello? Oh, my gosh, that picture of Les. Makes him look like he's like a Gestapo. He's never frowned. He's always smiling. He doesn't wear glasses. Look at that. Makes him look like he's supposed to be some
shishy wee
director. Is that what he is? I'll let you put it back. Thank you for letting me look at this.
Please.
This is just the cutest little thing. Oh, I can't wait. Okay, sorry.
Well, as long as we're on that subject,
sorry, I'm so excited to see that movie.
Can we lead off with that?
Okay.
There
we go.
Chat with us? Yeah.
I saw that pretty green. I was like,
So from Ariel to Flubber, right?
Yeah.
Although there have been some stops in between.
Yeah.
Just, you know, vegetating, right?
That's right.
Yeah. But tell me about what you're doing in the movie.
Well, I play the character of Weebo, and she is Robin's personal flying PC. Personal computer, and she runs the household. She's his best friend. She's madly in love with him, and her dream is to be a human, much like my other characters. So, of course, she's not a human, and she tries not to show her love for him in that romantic sort of way. So there's definitely a love triangle between two humans and a personal computer. And actually, the movie was finished when I did my work, and I just worked with the screen. So John Hughes, our wonderful, wonderful writer, and Les Mayfield, we just had a few lines developed. I did not read the script. I did not audition for the film. I don't really know how I got the job. I think John watched The Little Mermaid and turned off the picture and heard my voice and said, you know, that's Weebo. And I started work the next week in New York, and I had not read the script. I didn't know a thing about it. I didn't know what I was supposed to do until I got there. They basically put up the screen and said, okay, there's your character, and now fill in the blanks. Just talk with Robin. And I said, okay, what do I say? Well, just improvise. I said, okay. So we did that for a while, and then John would write the dialogue and then give me actual lines, and he developed the script from kind of our sessions of creating the character on the spot. So we worked here for 3 days, and Chicago for 2 days, and Los Angeles for 1 day. And then they just sent it out to be duplicated.
Sounds like one of those Woody Allen movies where you get a couple of pages and you haven't seen the whole picture yet.
No, I still haven't seen the whole picture. I have not met Robin. I hope to meet him at the premiere. I met Marcia Gay Harden last night, introduced myself at the Mermaid premiere, and she knew that I was Ariel. Of course, she had just seen the movie, and I did a live performance afterwards. So I said, you're really great in this, what I've seen of Flubber. And she said, what do you mean? I said, well, I play Weebo. And she just, her mouth just dropped open. She said, oh, my gosh, I had no idea. Because when they worked with Weebo, it didn't have a voice. People were just reading the lines from, you know, wherever. And so John Hughes has really taken a tremendous interest in this character and has really, you know, directed and kind of choreographed what she's all about, so I'm really looking forward to seeing how it turned out.
As much as what you improvise make
I think so. Yeah, I think it's a blend of all of us together, Les and John and I. But again, I haven't seen the movie yet, so I don't know what they picked as far as selections go.
Mm-hmm.
I guess I'll find out.
Final cut.
That's
way,
right.
Since we're taping for radio, try not to laugh in the middle because it's...
Oh, okay.
We can't edit around her.
Okay, and I'll try to be conscious of that, too.
Yeah, okay. So, Ariel, and she's back on the screen again.
That's right, she's back. She's back, and I'm so thrilled. It's been an incredible past 11 years, starting with the audition process to the re-release, and seeing the movie last night was spellbinding. I knew it was a good movie when I saw it the first time, but we had no idea, you know, the response it was going to get and what it was all about as far as being an important film for this resurgence and renaissance of the second golden age of animation. And seeing it again last night with Ron and John, the directors, and they haven't seen it either since the opening with an audience, was so captivating. I mean, I just looked at them and said, you guys, this is This is brilliant. It's an unbelievable film. I had no idea I just didn't remember from the first time. Again, not really having anything to compare it to. Not that I'm comparing it to these newer movies, but definitely seeing that it set such a great standard.
And we keep hearing parents have a hard time finding movies that they can take their kids to these days.
Mm-hmm.
We were just talking to Alan about it. You know, there's everything is R or PG-13.
Right, right. It's true. And I find that, you know, very sad. I hope, I mean, our goal, you know, my goal with the company as well as independently is my passion is for family entertainment. That's my real strong drive is to keep being a part of things like that, that we can have options to take children through. I hope that there'll be more. And I think with the other animation studios that are starting to put out wonderful pieces, with Anastasia, I just, and Flubber, and other houses, not just Disney, but I think the more the merrier, as far as I'm concerned. I think that will be really good. As long as it's good stuff, let's get it out there so that we have some choices.
Do you remember the first time you saw your voice put to the animation?
The first time I saw it was in Glenn Keane's cubicle at the Disney Studios over on Flower Street, and that was a 2-minute segment of Part of Your World on his television screen, which was a little black and white pencil sketches like a flip through book. It was the first time I saw the mashup, and it was breathtaking. It was weird, actually, to see that happen, that process. I thought, how do they do that? That was the first time, and then I chose not to see anything until the movie came out. I wanted to see it like an audience member and try to be objective. And breathtaking, you know, it's just absolutely breathtaking. It took my breath away to see how they developed not only my character, but everyone's character, which is so much like them. You know, it really does look like everybody.
For, as a performer, going from stage and screen, do you hope to, I know a lot of them like to go into directing or producing. Are you in the works of doing that? Would you hope to continue your stage and screen? Do you feel like you're moving in different directions because you're succeeding the way you are?
Right. I think what I'm doing now as far as an actress goes, what I like is the variety of stage, recording, animation, and singing symphonically live. I like doing 4 or 5 things together. I'm not as crazy about just doing one thing. I mean, even when I was doing a Broadway show, you know, for almost 3 years, I recorded during the day on Mermaid's television series, and I made an album during that time as well. I enjoy the variety of things. I think that kind of suits me best. As far as directing, I don't have the passion of that as of right now, although I would like to direct as far as voiceover animation goes. I think that would be fascinating. I don't have a real desire to direct live work as far as stage or screen or television, but I think working in the studio with people, the way people have worked with me, would be really fascinating. And I think I'd be able to do that. You know, I think I have the ability to have a good ear for that. Now that I've been in the studio for these 10 years, I feel like I've learned a lot by experience.
How do they do that? How do they direct you when you're motivated?
Oh, well, for Mermaid, I had Howard Ashman, you know, right there next to me in the studio prompting, and he would just set up all the scenes. We act them out, you know, like we're on stage, and he played all the characters for me to work off of, and he can really get you fever-pitched into the mood that you need to be in. And I think that's what a directing animator needs to be able to do as far as the direction goes. And of course, Ron and John were there with Howard, but I think because Howard and I knew each other from Smile, we had already established a director-actor relationship, so Ron and John felt comfortable with Howard stepping in and going forward with some of the direction with me. But they tempt it out of you. It's just, it's a, like a snake charmer kind of thing. They just pull it out. It's really amazing. But it takes a special director to be able to do that, especially in animation. They have to be animated. They have to be able to pull it out of you.
Do you amaze yourself sometimes, though, with what you can do that maybe you said to yourself, what, they were able to get me to do my voice that way?
Yes. I know when I watched Mermaid last night, I forgot I had done this other character of Vanessa when Ursula turns into a maiden. Her name is Vanessa, and I played that character. And I remember having to scream and just be really evil and do this mean laugh like Pat Carroll, and I thought, I even last night I was watching going, remember doing that. I mean, I remember listening to Pat's tapes, and they say, okay, imitate her, and I'm thinking, oh, yeah, like, I can do that. And it sounded really good. I was really happy with it, and I forgot that we had done this other sort of mean and dastardly kind of character. And I think for Flubber, it's going to be wild to watch it, because that was just doing stuff I had never done before. Improvisation, you know, and working off of a genius like Robin Williams. All right, like, I'm going to fill in the blanks with him, you know. But please, this is pathetic. I don't know what I'm doing. And so I'm nervous to see that, to see if it actually pulled off. But, you know, I trust John Hughes and Les that they're not going to let anything get in the film unless it's the quality that they're looking for the film.
Of course, Robin Williams was not there, right?
No.
Yeah.
And he was already locked in. In fact, John said that John was fascinated with what I did for a living. Because this was kind of, I think this was his first time to direct a voice only, and he just found it incredibly fascinating. He just wanted to find out all about the process and how do you do it and when you sing, what happens. And so I'm explaining this to him, and as we're working, of course, I'm already locked into a performance with Robin Reeves. I had to do exactly what he already established. And John kept saying, darn it, you know, I wish we could bring Robin in and you could work together because you guys could establish a relationship. I've done this backwards, you know. He's already locked into this and you weren't even there, and now you're bringing such great stuff that I think he would work off of you. But Robin was already starting on a movie in Poland and you couldn't get him. But John really wanted to have 2 days in the studio with him for the two of us, because it is such a close relationship that we could have really worked off of each other's chemistry. And of course, I just thought that was a fabulous idea. But unfortunately, that didn't come true because the film was already finished and it would take so much to shoot.
But Robin, it's so crazy, you know, unbelievable. And he lives in San Francisco, doesn't he? But you didn't see him out there, I guess.
No, he does live in San Francisco, but I didn't. He was in Poland, and from what I understand, he is coming to the premiere in another week or so. So I do plan on going up and introducing myself.
Yeah, we're going to be interviewing him, I think, right?
He'll be probably.
He is at the junket.
Yeah, he is coming.
He and Marcia and Chris, I think, are going to be at the junket.
Do you recall any of your physical characteristics the animators Vario picked up?
Well, Glenn videotaped every day that I was in the studio, and he grabbed a lot, you know, from that. I would say, you know, the eyes and a lot of the facial reactions, especially every time she's singing, everything is taken pretty much straight from the tape. And, of course, there's live-action reference models, and they have photographs of his wife, Linda, who looks a lot like Tinkerbell. He used, like, her cheek structure and the shape of her face. So she's a blend of, I would say, 3 or 4 different concepts.
It had to be strange to see ways that you picked up my...
Yes. And then it was strange. Actually, it was a friend of mine who kind of nudged me and said, you know, in watching this, it is like watching you. You know, it's pretty amazing. It's pretty exciting.
Will you and your husband work together again?
Yes. Actually, we just... When did we
you did the thing in London, right?
We went over to Europe together.
The Gershwin thing?
My one and only together in Europe for 6 months. And then we sung together for Disney events. Michael Eisner and Roy Disney have invited us to sing together at a couple of different functions, which was really fun. And then we sing symphonically with Jerry Herman and his orchestra at adaptation of his concert. We've done that together as well. So... hopefully there'll be more in the future.
Have you done club shows or nightclubs or anything like that?
No,
would you like to try that maybe?
I don't think so. I don't think I'm a cabaret nighttime kind of person. I just went to see a friend of mine's show, and she was like, Jody, you need to do this. And actually another girlfriend of mine who's in ragtime, she said, you know, if you did it, if we did it together, then it would be fine. But I think both of us would be, it's just nerve-wracking. So much pressure. I would be so nervous. I don't know if I could do that. It's different than if you're singing something that's already planned. It doesn't really rely on your shoulders. You're part of a program or part of a show or part of a concert. But to do your own thing, boy, it's just out there on the line. I don't know if I have that in me. But it would be a tremendous challenge. But people do ask me all the time, when are you going to do, you know, your own show? I think, oh boy. But if I could get my girlfriend to do it, maybe we could share a night together. That I feel her support because we're best friends as well, and maybe we could pull that off. Marcia Mitzman, mm-hmm. she originated several shows here in New York, and she's doing the Los Angeles Company of Ragtime as the lead. So I thought, well, if, you know, we went up there together, maybe we could pull this off. You know, it wouldn't be so scary. There is. There's something about having somebody else up there that you wouldn't feel so naked on stage.
Who's the cabaret performer you went to see?
Tia Riebling, an old friend of mine from Smile. We've been friends for 15 years. And she kept saying, come on, do it. I'm like, no, I don't think I could do that. Because I saw how nervous she was, and I thought, I don't know if I want to live through that. I don't want to add stress to my life. That's not the objective.
What are you working on right now?
Well, I'm on tour for the rest of the year with both of the films, and I'm going down to Walt Disney World to do the Christmas parade. And then starting next year, we're starting up on, I've actually already been recording Hercules, the television series that comes out next fall. We're doing a Mermaid 2 straight to video that they're writing the script for. We start next year. And Lady and the Tramp Part 2 is in development. I'm not revoicing. I'm imitating Barbara Luddy, who does the voice of Lady, but she since has passed away. So I auditioned for that and got the part. And I'm very excited because it's another opportunity to do another voice with the company, which is fun. And I'm supposed to do a tour of Sound of Music, but I don't think that's going to work out.
There's nothing else happening.
Right? I think that's going to conflict with Disney, because again, the concerts for Disney, like we're doing the kickoff of the maiden voyage of the cruise line, and I'm going down there to do that kickoff and sing with Peebo Bryson and a couple of other vocalists, again, that we generally sing for the company at the bigger events. So it's going to kind of conflict. So we're still negotiating the scheduling for the beginning of next year.
With doing all these voiceovers and the occasional concert for Disney, do you miss doing live theater?
Not right now, because I do it in the summer. I have done a show a year, and that's been good for me. I've enjoyed it. I mean, I'll never stop doing stage. I just don't know if I want to do 8 shows a week anymore, because you're really locked into that and only that. And it doesn't leave much for your personal life. It doesn't leave much for artistically anything else. Although I was doing the series while I was doing Crazy for You, but that was full plate time. So I think, you know, after that, I just felt like with Crazy for You, it doesn't get any better than this. I don't know if I could ever, I don't know what it would be like going back to Broadway, creating a role, and then wondering, oh, geez, it's nowhere near as fabulous as an experience as Crazy for You. I don't want to feel that. But so if the timing is right, it's a new project, you know, that's what I feel like God's leading me to, then definitely I'll come back and do it. But right now I'm just really content with the things I'm doing, very blessed, and I feel like, you know, I'm exactly where God has me to be right now. So of course that could change if the phone rings. Try to go with the flow.
You have to watch your voice. I mean, physically it sounds like you get quite a schedule.
Right now it's very taxing. As you can see, I'm drinking a lot of water with the flying and the singing. And you know, we start sometimes at 5 in the morning and finish at 6 at night. And, you know, I'm on a 30-45-day press tour. But I have 2 days off. I have Saturday and Sunday off this weekend. So I'm going to see friends and family, go to church and see everybody there. And this is, you know, was my home for 15 years. So I have a little chance of a break. But I do have to try to watch it. Keep strong this month.
You vocalize in the morning when you get up just to see if the voice is still there?
Well, I do some humming and stuff, but definitely when I'm singing, I'm trying to keep going strong as possible. Just stay healthy. That's the real key for this month.
So Billy Benson sing in the shower?
No, I don't. Actually, I don't sing unless I'm working. I'm not one of those kind of walk around singing people, and I don't listen to music. Silence is what I like the best in the car. It's weird. I guess it's because music is such an important part of my life, my work life, that silence is just fabulous. Like when I go into a hotel room and they have the radio on with the music, I just run and turn it off right away. I just love the quiet. And I think that's the same way with singing. I mean, I sing for my supper, so to speak, but and I love to sing, but to sing for recreation, I don't know, it just seems weird. It doesn't come to me naturally.
The sound of silence, right?
I really enjoy it.
Yeah.
Is there a favorite role of yours in the body of work that you've done, you know, on stage or as a voiceover?
I think it's whatever I'm currently doing. That seems to be the way it is for me. I mean, obviously, a highlight of my career is going to be Mermaid. I mean, that's changed everything. But every experience I've had has been wonderful. So it would really be hard to pick one thing, but this will probably be the thing I'm most proud of, the thing that's changed my life the most, and a character that, you know, it has just been a big, big part of my life. So I probably would have to say The Little Mermaid. But I really, I just kind of have a thing that my favorite thing is whatever I'm doing, which keeps the joy and, you know, the excitement into it as well.
Are you getting recognized more and more, or do you, you know, when kids find out you're the voice?
Oh yeah,
that's
yeah.
always tough to try to, you know, right?
But it was funny because actually last night after they watched the movie, then I came out live and there were a lot of kids there, and they do the transfer. They keep it in their imagination that, you know, I really am her, and it's not something we promote. It's just something that they create. But yeah, they like to recognize my name, my voice, or my face. Over the 10 years from something. Either they've seen a show or they've seen me in concert, because I travel around to a lot of towns, so we do hit quite a few markets. And I think between those, you know, kids or parents make a connection.
But how about Rockford, Illinois?
Oh, yeah. That's my
hometown. You go back home?
Oh, yeah, I go home. All my family's still there. Yeah. So, in fact, they were in Indianapolis last night and they're coming to New York on Sunday for the premiere. But I get home about 3 times a year, and then my family comes to see me at least once. So we're real close, and that's still hometown.
And you like the pride Rockford, Illinois?
I guess. So actually, from our, we have a really small town, but out of our high school, we had 300 people in our high school. Four of us were on Broadway at the same time, and three were nominated for Tonys at the same, within a 2-year span. There's one under my age and one over my age. So, yeah, it's pretty amazing. From one small town, but there's 3 or 4 of us that have all kind of done what we wanted to do and reached that dream. Mary Mabies, who's starring in Magpie, and Joe Mantello, who's a brilliant director and star of Angels in America, and the film Love, Valor, and Compassion. I mean, it's just amazing.
Must be something in the water out there.
I don't know. It definitely wasn't any training opportunities because we didn't have anything there. But just to have everybody from one small little private Catholic school in Rockford, Illinois.
Catholic school.
Pretty amazing.
That Catholic upbringing.
I don't know. I guess it's just total blessings, that's for sure.
They got those rulers out and they just took you into shape.
Boy, right? God was watching over us. Very thankful.
Good to see you again.
Good. Nice to see all of you guys. I appreciate it.
Take good care.
Thank you. Thank you. Nice to see you again. Nice to see you again. I won't. I'm sure we'll come.